One day near the city of Jerusalem, a father sadly looked into the eyes of his children. He said, "The time for sacrifice has come. Our sins must be covered. Our wrongs must be atoned." The younger one said, "I don't understand why our sins can't be forgiven without the killing of my lamb." The father took the young child by the hand and said, "There will come a day when the Lion out of Judah will become the Lamb of God and take our sins away. There will come a day. No more sacrifice is needed. Perfect grace will be completed. Oh, my child, there will come a day." One day in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But he knew the plan of God would have to be, and in just a few short hours, he would die on Calvary. Divinity rose up and said, "This price I'll have to pay." And just before the Father turned away, he said, "There will come a day. Your defeat will turn to victory, for the cross that you carry bears the weight of all the world. When the blood stains in your hands declare the hope for every man. Oh, my child, there will come a day." Each day that we live among sin's awful curse, the evidence of darkness seems to only get much worse. We cry to God in anguish, "Lord, how long will you allow this evil world to just go on and on?" But all of us who've made this God our choice can listen.
King of glory and the mighty name of Jesus will forever be proclaimed. There will come a day. No more night, no sin, no sorrow, no more longing for tomorrow.
Oh, my child,
there will come a day. No sin, no sorrow, no more longing for tomorrow.
Oh, my child,
there will come a day. There will come a day.
those of you who were here last week, I had a message on no more sacrifice for sin once you sin willfully. And for some reason, I heard three pastors preach on the same thing that very Sunday. And one really caught my attention was Dr. McGee. Anybody know that guy? He's gone to be with the Lord. And he said, Ananias and Sapphira are not in hell, if anybody thinks they are. Well, they sinned willfully, and they died because of their sin. And he said, how many of us would be in hell if that would be the case? The blood of Jesus took care of it. And I was pretty taken back. He went straight out on the farthest limb you can go with that message. And I was proud of him. Hallelujah. He stood up for the cross of Calvary, and he didn't bow an inch to the naysayer. So, Dr. McGee, I'm sure you're going to enjoy your salvation for the rest of eternity because of what Jesus did on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you guys believe in open borders? Nobody believes. One person believes in open borders. We lock the borders there. Nobody can come in. You may go out, but nobody can come in. Well, if we watch the border on the southern border of the States, it's total chaos, total confusion, and nobody knows how to take care of it. There's another open border that a lot of Christians have, and that is when you become born again by the Spirit of God. Many cross that border in, and then they go back out. One day they're saved, the other day they're not. I can tell you for a fact, when I crossed that border, when I became saved, I never went back again. My salvation was secure for the rest of eternity. I stepped across that line and I closed that door, and I never went back to that place of darkness. My soul had become light. I was seated in heavenly places. I was a purchased possession. I was a child of the King of the universe. So do you believe in open borders? Not in this case, you don't. For those of you who are listening through the internet, none of those here do. Those of you who listen to the internet, you better close that border. If you're one of those people who walk back and forth, are you saved? Yes, today I'm saved. Tomorrow, nobody can be sure. I might fall from grace. I might lose my salvation. On and on the excuses go. Never really sure of themselves on which side of the border they're on. Many are sitting right at the fence line, waiting, which way shall I jump, this way or that way? Are you sure of Christ? Do you know what he did for you? When he went to that cross, he said, it is finished. The border has been determined. You're either on this side or on that side. What is your choice? What is your choice? Many, many people today are taught, well, if you're born again, then you better make sure that you live up to it. Can anybody really live up to it? You may give it a good try. You may live a godly life, but deep in your heart, every now and then, you do the unthinkable. You cross back into the physical realm of that border, but not in the spiritual realm once you're born again. So keep it there. Don't even walk there in the physical. You're there in the spiritual. Stay there and be at peace with God. That's the problem. Many people don't have a godly life. They don't seem to want to get into the things of God, and then they don't know or understand how things work. My wife showed me something very interesting about Israel the other day. This lady was showing us how the Israelis had to have faith to walk into the Red Sea. Remember when Moses stretched out his staff and the waters parted and the wind blew all night and it completely, the ground was totally dry when they walked across. Well, this lady must have watched the movie I watched a couple of weeks before of the Exodus when they walked out of Egypt. There, they walked in up to here, and then finally the water departed, and they had to walk through the soggy and wet ground, and finally they made it across. Oh, what a... You know, when Hollywood puts out a movie, they should burn the whole thing and just get rid of it, because they're no good anyway. So what does the Bible teach us? You know what these people do? They make a movie. Hopefully, nobody reads scriptures to see if what they made is on the right track. And many, many are on the wrong track. So where do we stand today? Are we on the border? Are we across in the border of Jesus or not? Before we get into this message today, I will explain by scripture how serious the whole situation is. But before we get into it, let's rise and ask the Lord for a blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, for the awesomeness of scripture, Lord. They reveal to us exactly what you mean. And I pray you will open people's hearts today so that they'll understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. John chapter 3 and verse 16, the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is an interesting scripture that carries a lot of meat. We need to understand it. It doesn't say for God so loved the church. Even though God loves the church immensely, it's the closest thing to his heart. But here it says for God so loved the world. He wants the world to become his church. He wants the world to come to him and receive the awesome sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. Many people are saying today, and you see it in many churches. I was listening to James Dobson, and I'm telling you, the church is in a sad situation. If the rapture would be today, I don't know if many of us would leave. God has to do something because of their ideas. They have somehow left the principles of God and turned to doctrines of devils. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to see and understand that we are his children. Once we cross that line into his kingdom, and that happens when we become born again by the Spirit of God. For the Bible teaches us, then we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible teaches us we are seated in heavenly places. The Bible teaches us we're a purchased possession. Salvation is something deep that a lot of people don't understand. Today they're walking in and out of the kingdom of God. Today they're Christians, tomorrow maybe not. The third day they do a little better. And that's because of false teachings in the churches. It's unbelievable how they have allowed the principles of Scripture to simply slip away. There was this one guy that were talking about homosexuality. And he said, oh, if you're going to go to Paul's teaching in Romans chapter 1, then you have to understand we got more revelation than Paul has. Paul didn't have any new revelation when it came to that. He looked into Leviticus and he saw the law. And that's what he preached. He said it's an abomination. People are given vile affections because they go into that awful lifestyle that they're in. So God loved the world. Even the vilest person will be set free if they come into the kingdom. For he loves us. We are his creation. In John chapter 6 and verse 28, it tells us, then this Jesus was talking to to the Jews. Then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. That's a far-reaching statement he has. Believe on him whom he has sent. Jesus said, greater works will you do than I did when I go unto the Father. What did he do? He cast out devils. He healed the sick. He created food. He walked on water. You look at what Jesus did. He said, greater works will we do. Are we listening to what Jesus says? Greater works will you do? We need to listen to what he says. We need to believe in him. There are churches who do that, but a lot of them are shunned. They're trying to break the ice. They're trying to break through the veil. And many are being held by the unbelief of many. There's something interesting. When Jesus healed a leper, or he healed the eyes of a blind man once. And it took two tries. The first time, it was just he saw trees walking. And on the second try, then finally, the scales were off and he saw the people. And Jesus, and the Bible teaches, he couldn't do any miracles in that place because of unbelief. And he told that guy, don't go back into the city, go to your house. Why did he say that? Because the unbelief, the spirit of unbelief, would have come upon him. So he tells us here, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered, this is the work of God. You believe on him whom he has sent. Now I want to take this into the direction of our salvation. It is far deeper than most people understand when it comes to salvation. In John chapter 6 in verse 35, it tells us, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. When did your thirst and hunger leave you? I remember before I was a Christian, I was hungry, I was thirsty. What was I hungry for? Was it for the word of God? No, there was emptiness in me. I had a problem with loneliness. And I also knew and understood that one of these days when I cross that line, I'm in the eternal lake of fire. But then it was told me that if I don't behave, and many of you understand me, you heard the same thing. If you don't behave, if you don't do right, you're going to go to hell. The Hutterites weren't shy about that one. They explained to you exactly what the wrath of God was. And they preached it to us day after day, week after week. And then one day the goodness of God was brought to my attention. It wasn't the wrath of God that brought me to the Lord. It was the goodness of God. What's the goodness of God? Come unto me, all you that are laboring and are heavily laden. Take my yoke upon you. The cross of Calvary is the goodness of God. That brought me out of the horrible pit. That brought me away from the flames that were licking at my heels. And I was taken from this kingdom and placed into there. And I never went back to that old place again. Hallelujah. Did I become a goody new two shoes for right away? I don't think so, but let me tell you, my heart was light. I was at peace with God. I knew He was in control of my life. And if this buddy, this Dave, will go astray, He knows how to bring me back, because He's the best shepherd that ever existed, and He knows how to use his shepherd's staff. Anybody who's been a Christian for a while will understand what I mean by this. Jesus knows how to use His shepherd's staff. Jesus, in John chapter 6 and verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I will give for you, the life of the world. So Jesus is now talking spiritual. We don't eat physically the flesh, and we don't drink physically the blood of Jesus. Even though when the Catholic system preaches on that, they somehow twist it to mean that. I've seen it a few times. But something really happened. I'll give you an interesting example out of Exodus chapter 12 in verse 9. I'll wait for my right-hand man to put that up on the screen. Exodus chapter 12 in verse 9. The Israelis were just getting ready to leave Egypt. And God gave them a command. He said, you take a lamb without spot or blemish, and you butcher that lamb, and you take the blood and put it over the doorposts of your houses. Why? Because tonight, the angel of death is going to come through, and he's going to kill everyone that does not have he will kill the firstborn of everyone that does not have the blood over the doorposts of their houses. Those guys could have been in that house having prayer meeting all night. If the blood wouldn't have been there, it wouldn't have helped. It did not matter how those people were, as long as the blood was over the doorposts of their houses, in their houses. But then it said something about the animal itself. He told them, do not eat any of the raw meat or boiled in water. The whole animal, now listen to this closely. The whole animal, including the head, the legs, the internal organs, must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn what is not eaten before morning. So they had to take part of everything. They had to take a bite out of every organ, every innard, the legs, the head, take a bite out of everything. I was listening to one preacher, and he explained it that way. When the Israelis walked out of Egypt, there were old people there, and surely there were sick people there. But once they walked out of Egypt, after eating that lamb, the Bible teaches us there was none that was sick. They were all healthy people walking out. Why? It is because they ate the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, that lamb that was sacrificed. They ate every organ there was. There was a bite of it, and that spelled their internal organs, which were called by Jesus, by your stripes I am healed. So if we take communion, that represents that lamb. That represents the blood and the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we take it, it brings health to our bodies, according to what this scripture is talking about. Jesus himself said, by your stripes I am healed. And once that revelation hit me, I started to take for myself communion every night, me and my wife. And over the last year, we had some struggle with strange diseases. And guess what? God brought us through. And I firmly believe it was the revelation that he gave us that helped us in that situation. It was interesting. It was fun. It was something to experiment it. So I urge you to try. You're a Christian. You don't need me to give you communion. You can do it by yourself, even alone. How often do you do it? Once a year? At Easter? No. You can do it as often as you want. The Bible teaches, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. What I did for you, I died for you. I took care of your sin problem. By my stripes, you're healed. I took your physical pain, your physical diseases. And if we'd start believing that and start operating that, it would start to become a reality. How many of us believe in the blood that we're saved? Why do we believe it so strongly? Because that's where we hang our hats on. But we forget the healing part. It's as important as the blood part, because God wants you to be alive. He wants you to be well. He wants you to be made whole. Jesus said, if you do that, you will never thirst. So now, in John chapter 6, in verse 53, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's what it comes down to when you accept Jesus as your Savior. You ingest Jesus himself. You become one with him. That's spiritually talking. He has become part of you. You have become part of him. It's like pouring hot water and cold water together. You cannot separate them again. Hallelujah. We were cold. He was hot. We were poured together. Now we're one perfect mixture. And hallelujah, for the rest of eternity, I'm the bride of Christ. I'm going to enjoy my position at the right hand of Jesus because of what the blood did for me. Not at the right hand of God, at the right hand of Jesus. That's going to be awesome. God wants us to understand that. Jesus said, except you eat my flesh, of the son, eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. How long is eternal? Forever. In the ages to come, he will show us the mystery of his grace. I have never figured that out. The ages of eternities. He will bring us from glory to glory. We're going to be at the right hand of Jesus because we're his bride. We're going to be producing and creating with him because that's what he chose for us to do. And he will rise us up at the last day, that's for sure. We are his. Don't walk past back across that border anymore because you have an incredible place in Christ Jesus. God wants you to understand that. In John 6, chapter 55, it says, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The word indeed means it has been established. It has been completely established. My flesh and my blood has been established, forgiving us spiritual food for the rest of eternity. We will never hunger nor thirst again. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwells in me and I in him. Can you separate yourself from Jesus anymore? Absolutely not. Do you believe in once saved, always saved? With a big yes, I say yes. Why? It's not because of what I did. It's because of what Jesus did. I became part of him. He became part of me. I got my DNA in him, through him, and by him. We have become one with Christ. How can you separate that? It is physically impossible because I was circumcised in my spirit, and circumcision, the last I heard, you cannot reverse. Anybody ever heard of circumcision being reversible? No, you did not. Neither can it be reversed in the spiritual realm. So God wants us to see and understand that. I want you to look at yourself, those of you listening through the internet. Do you know that you belong to God? Or are you like the southern border by Mexico? In and out, they go as they please. Total confusion. You don't know which side you're on. I urge you today, go into the family of God. Turn to Him for salvation. He is willing that none perish because He shed His blood for you. He didn't shed it for only a few people. He shed it for the world. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I don't care what hole you're stuck in. I don't care what your past is. I don't care who you are, what you are. You can be the vilest sinner. That means homosexuals. That means child killers. That means anybody who's into the darkest sins of this world. If you repent, God will save you. All He needs is a one little bit of a, I want you, and He'll do the rest for you. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. It'll take care of you. You will never, ever regret a decision like that if you make it. Now we're going to go into communion. But before we do, I'll read Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus took communion with His disciples the last time. That must have been an interesting time, as Jesus knew He was going to be crucified. The Bible teaches us that He went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and there He sweat blood for you and I. Must have been horrible. Must have been horrifying. He saw what God was going to lay upon Him. He saw the sin of the whole world, to the point where He cried out, my God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I mean, that's the Son of God. That's God Himself. God, I can't handle this. Could you please, maybe, some way, somehow, figure out a way where this cup could pass from me? But not my will. Thy will be done. And guess what? He went to the cross for you, for me. He took my blame upon Himself. He took every man's sin upon this earth upon Himself. And guess what? He nailed it to the cross, and that's where it's going to stay. And for the rest of eternity, it's going to stay there. The Bible teaches us the ordinances that were written against us, the condemnation, was taken out of the way and nailed to the cross, and it was done by Jesus. Hallelujah. So that's what we have. We have an awesome God. He loves us. He wants us to understand that. Take advantage of that. Don't go in and back in and out. Today I'm safe. Today I'm not. Become safe in your heart and put and hang your hat on the blood of Jesus, because He'll never fail you. In Matthew chapter 26, in verse 26, it says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and break it, and He gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. That's a representation of what Jesus did for us. And He said, as often as you do it, remember what I did for you. I believe if people would take communion more often, they would be reminded of what Jesus did. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But unto you, I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That's going to be an awesome day. I cannot wait for that time, especially the way things are going now. That's going to be awesome. relaxed, totally at peace, and taking communion with God, knowing that for the rest of eternity, that's going to be our lot. Doesn't that bring joy to you? I'm telling you, it lifts me out of every shadow I'm in. It lifts me out of every ache and pain I have, because I know one of these days it'll be for real. Now I take it by faith and I enjoy that. But wait till the real thing comes. It's going to be awesome. So before we get into this sacrament, we'll pray and ask the Lord for blessing. I'll pray and you can pray in your heart for your own thing. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have called us. You have somehow found us, O God, out of all those that were our brothers, our sisters, our kinfolk. Somehow, Lord, the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit just came and brought salvation, opened our eyes, and we thank you for it, Lord. We appreciate what you did. We're so thankful that you brought us out of the miry clay, out of the eternal darkness that we were heading for. So, Lord God, you will bless each and every one with an assured heart today that they belong to God. Lord God, you will, those who are trembling maybe right now, not quite sure whether they know you, Lord, you'll just give them assurance of salvation. Lord God, for those who are maybe not living right, Lord, give them power. Give them the unction to start turning their lives around, Lord, that they will be a blessing to you. I thank you for all of this as we partake of this bread, as we partake of this wine, that it represents your blood, body and your blood. We thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that left him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know.